Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, if you're sitting next to somebody good looking, why don't you give the Lord a clap one more time. Fellas, I'm trying to help you. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. It's always such great worship up here. So great to be here. How many people here have never heard me preach before? Anyone? Few of you. Woo. Here we go. Hopefully you still come back next week. Come back next week. It's going to be good. Next week's going to be amazing. Oh, Pastor Jurgen tonight. Yeah, come back tonight. It's going to be great. I used to tell Pastor Jurgen that if he ever made me like pastor of a campus, I would tell everybody to go here, wherever he's preaching. Because deep down, I wanted to go there. But no, it's good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Matt and Michaela, two of my greatest friends. And the reason literally I'm here is because of Pastor Matt and Michaela, and the reason that I don't know what would happen if he wouldn't have came in the hospital. I don't know where I've been today, but so good. And I love the fact, how many guys went to Emerge? You guys enjoy Emerge just a couple of weeks ago? Emerge was awesome. I was there on the Thursday night, and I ran into Bernie Lopez. And my job at Emerge was to just hang out with, you know, Central Campus captains and, you know, pour into my teams and stuff like that. But I found myself on Thursday night at the North Camp because there was like 100 pounds of meat being smoked. It was amazing. No salad, no carbs, just meat. Hot links. It was amazing. And then on Friday night, I found myself at South Campus because how many people know South? People know how to do carne asada. So I was down there, and thinking back, I'm like, shoot, I'm supposed to hang out with my campus, but all right. Here we go. That's what I love about our church. One church, multiple locations. It's always great to see everybody. But hey, we're going to get started because I think I got a lot of info. I got a message this morning that I preached a few weeks ago at Central Campus. Pastor Leanne asked me to come up here and preach it to you. So I think there's some life on it. I think you're going to find it encouraging. But in the marketplace, when a company... or people innovate, when they invent something, be it a product, a service, or a process, or maybe they improve a product, service, or process, and it changes an industry, it's called disruption. It's called, you know, they go into an industry and they disrupt an industry. And it essentially means you take a new approach to an old idea or a completely new idea in a specific space. And the results can literally change how an industry works. In 2008, there was a guy named Travis Kalanick, and he was with his buddy. They went to Paris for a technology conference, and after the conference, they went outside, and they were trying to get to dinner at the hotel or whatever, and they're trying to hail a cab. They couldn't find a cab. They were out there, and they couldn't find a ride to their hotel or to their restaurant that they wanted to go, and so it frustrated them, and so they vowed from that point to change that problem, and they had a mission. They wanted to press a button and get a car. They wanted to press a button and get a car. Well, 2 years later, in the summer of 2010, Uber was born. His mission, Travis's mission, according to a Vanity Fair article in 2014, was to drastically disrupt what he considered a very broken transportation system. And did he ever disrupt the transportation system? I mean, to think you can create a transportation company without buying planes, trains, or automobiles is kind of mind-blowing. But that's what he did. He invested in technology. And that's what disrupted this whole industry. They used technology, not vehicles. They put millions of people to work and pioneered an industry literally called the sharing economy. So much so that when there is a change in the sharing economy, it is referred to as Uberification. The latest valuation of this transportation juggernaut that I could find was $66 billion with a B dollars. Just 7 years after the creation, after the frustration, probably 9 years after frustration, they've created a company worth $66 billion. And let me just tell you, when you set out to disrupt an industry, it doesn't come easy. Anytime you disrupt an industry, you challenge people's paradigms, perspectives, and so they try to pull you down. So Uber had to fight against government agencies. They had to fight against the media. They had to fight against their competition because they saw Uber's market share rising and their market share falling. There's all kinds of problems with different transportation companies and cab companies and that sort of thing because they saw them losing market share. And so there's persecution that's going to come when you decide to disrupt an industry. You just have to be ready for it. You have to stand strong and really believe in what you're doing. Amen? And so transportation will never be the same because of Uber, because of a guy named Travis Kalanick. Well, at C3 Church, we've been known to do things a little bit different than what's maybe acceptable in today's seeker-friendly church growth environment. We don't use the typical playbook that most churches will use. That's not to say that we don't glean from other movements, from other churches, from other Christian leaders. In fact, we do. And in fact, tomorrow we have a meeting with another church leader about how do we improve our Connect Group system. And so we're always reaching out and trying to learn. However, we know what we're called to do, and we're called to do things a little bit different than maybe the usual playbook that people are using right now for seeker-friendly church environment. We've received some opposition because of this. We've received some flack. We've received some heat because we've kind of gone against some of the status quo things that churches are doing or that other Christians are used to doing. But we're committed to kind of raising our experience to what the Bible says, not lowering our Bible to what our experience is. We're committed to doing that. We want to see what the Bible says, not reduce it to what we're seeing, right? We talk about money. You just saw a video about money. I mean, it's a powerful video, but we talk about money. People don't like that. When the world talks about prosperity, people are clapping. But when the church does, people think they're just trying. God just wants my money. The church just wants my money. Actually, God is trying to get something to you. He's never trying to take anything from you. So we get some flack for that. We have people leave the church because of that. We believe that we believe in women preachers. We have female preachers. Can you believe that? God talks to women. Incredible. 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 But hey, I know that's a real issue, and I'm not trying to make fun of people if that's what you believe, but I'm telling you, every person on this platform is under Pastor Juergen's authority, man or woman. Every good house has the voice of a mother and a father, but we have women preachers. People get offended about that. Women get offended that we have women preachers, which I don't get that, but sometimes I don't understand women. We believe in the power of God, healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. We don't hide God. For some reason, people get offended when people get healed or fall over. Man, I hope that if I encounter the creator of the universe, he can at least knock me over. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he just needs to knock you out and get your brain out of the way so he can do some surgery. But people get offended. We believe in the power of God. We fear God more than we fear people leaving. We're committed to the power of God. We talk about tough issues. We're not politically correct. We're not politically correct. We actually speak the truth. We have an opinion. People get all upset about when the church uses its influence, but they applaud, again, when actors, actresses, business leaders, athletes use their influence, but we can't use our influence, even though it's speaking from the Bible. But we take flack. People go on Yelp and write stuff. We're very transparent. We talk about tough issues. We just had a relationship series. We're talking about tough issues with marriages and with relationships. And we talk about tough things that are happening in the world. We talk about things that we struggle with. Those of us on the platform, we struggle with stuff. We might have a gift to communicate, lead, or preach. We don't have a gift to be a Christian. So we tell people about the things that we're struggling with. Pastors would say, no, you can't let your struggles out. That's not the way we do things. We tell people. Sometimes you have to write a check in tears. It's not always easy, but you gotta do it. You gotta do it. You gotta step out in faith. So we kind of do things a little bit different. A few months ago, we had a series called Stars and Stripes, which is a very non-politically correct series. And before the series, before I got a chance to preach in that series, I started to just ask God, okay, is this the right way to do things? Are we doing things the way you want us to do it, God? Because we never want to be a church that offends people unnecessarily. We always want to be communicating in love. We never want to do things that are just to pick a fight for picking fight reasons. And so I'm asking God, and I really felt God say, no, you're on the right track. I have given you a mission to do this. You are called to disrupt culture. You're called to disrupt church culture, but you're called to disrupt culture. The church as a whole is called to disrupt the status quo, disrupt the culture out there. We're meant to be influencing them, not being the influencees. And so the title of my message is Disruption, because I believe we're all called to disrupt what's happening in the world. But know this, when we go out and disrupt, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be people coming against us. There's going to be Yelp reviews. There's going to be that stuff. But it's okay. God has sent us here. God didn't send Yerkes and Leanne all the way over to San Diego from Australia to give San Diego what it already had. In fact, they told Pastor Yerkes and Leanne, do not create a church, a Holy Spirit-filled church, because you only grow to 300. Whoops. Missed that one. Try 4,500, 5,000 members and growing, getting new campuses. So we're on a mission. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3 kind of talks about the perspective of the church and how the world views the church and how we should be viewed and our role in society. So I want to read through it, and then I'm going to kind of break it down. Isaiah 2:2-3 says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I love this passage of scripture because I think it gives us a pretty good picture of the church. And I'm just going to kind of break it down for you. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Right now we are in the latter days. I'm not saying that Jesus is coming back next week or even next month, but I think we need to turn it up a little bit. We need to have a sense of urgency because we are in the latter days. In Joel 2:28, God said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, meaning women can hear from God. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. In Acts 2, that prophecy was fulfilled. The Spirit of God was poured out. So we are in the last days. But it's been the last days for thousands of years. I was at a conference a number of years ago. It was a youth conference. There were 5,000 teenagers at this conference. And I was there, and one of the speakers got up, and he said, at the end of his message, he said, Jesus is coming back, like in the next month or two. And so all the kids were like kind of freaking out. I was like freaking out. I'm like, really? The funny part was the leader of the conference had to get up on stage after that and try to get pre-registrations for the next year. So he had to kind of rewind and tell all the kids that Jesus was not probably coming back in the next couple of months so that he can get some pre-regos. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying the time is now. We are in the latter days. That the mountain of the Lord's house, the house of God. I love how it describes the Lord's house as a mountain. A mountain speaks of strength. It speaks of a big place. It's a big place because it's supposed to house big people. We forfeited the right to be small people, to be small thinkers when you became a Christian. When you step into the kingdom of God, your world just got bigger. Now you got to think about more than just you. You got to think about other people. You got to make more than enough money for yourself so that you can give, so that you can bless, so that you can be a blessing. We got to be big people. So I love how it says that the Lord's house is a mountain. It's a place that is big. It's a place that is grand, that it's expansive. Shall be established on top of the mountains. So the mountain of the Lord's house, a big place to house big people, shall be housed on top of a big place. The mountains. So churches are supposed to be all over the place. The mountains of the Lord. So the mountains being set on a mountain speaks of vision. The house of God is a place of vision. The house of God is a place of strength. It's high ground. The Lord's house is set to be on high ground. If you talk to military people, they would tell you that in battle, it's a good thing to take advantage of the high ground. It's an authoritative place. That's where the house of God is meant to sit. God says this in Psalms 104:19. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Not under all, it rules overall. It's an authoritative place. And the house of God isn't just made up of, the church isn't just a building, it's people. And so God has not just only set the house of God in a high place, but he set you in a high place. This is what it says in Ephesians 1. I'm going to start in verse 20. It says, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, Jesus, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Everybody say far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that age to come. So this is for this age. Why is that important? Because in chapter 2, verse 4, I'm going to actually start in verse 5. It says, even when we, he's talking about us, were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the house of God is, the mountain of the Lord is set on a high place, and the people of God are set on a high place in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, and anything that is named in this age. You are meant to walk in authority in this age, not just the age to come. Many people shall come and say, many people shall come and say, the only way you're going to come and tell people about something is if it has impact on you, if you're passionate about it. I have people come to me last week and say, man, you got to see this movie, The Shack. It's powerful. I was crying. I was bawling. The only reason they came and told me was because it impacted them. It changed them. People are going to come and they're going to say, this is what they're going to say. They're going to say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the next level. Let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. So people are going to come and they're going to tell their friends, they're going to tell people because something's impacted them. Let us go up to the mountain of God. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Now, to go up a mountain, it takes a little bit of energy. You have to be a little bit fit. You might have to drive 30 minutes to church. To get up to the mountain of the Lord, I know there's people here that drive from Palm Springs to get here. I love, Pastor Matt used to say, people would complain about driving to church. He said, hey, if Jesus was going to be there, would you go? And they said, yeah. He said, Jesus is going to be there. People come to church. Evangelism right there. People will say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. This is what Zechariah 8:22 says. It said, many peoples and mighty nations will come to seek the Lord. We're called to disciple nations as a church. Many people are to come. Now, for the world to come, for someone to come to their friends and say, come up this mountain, because it might be tough. Getting someone from the couch, especially during football season, to church on a Sunday can be tough. But if you're passionate about it, they're going to be passionate about it. So they're going to say, come up to the house of the Lord. But for people to do that, for people to want to come to the house of the Lord has to have an X factor. You might say, well, we have a God factor. An X factor gives people the opportunity to encounter the God factor. We can't be lame. We have to be cutting edge. We got to have lights, media, haze. We got to have music. We got to have a worship team. We can't have hymns and pews, except for Andy Pugh, wherever he is. He's cool. Andy and Amy Pugh are awesome. But hymns and pews don't draw people. And look, I know this is a little bit painful, but the traditional church only attracts the church. That's why we got to be cutting edge, forward thinking, progressive. That's why we have to be like that. Now, we can all listen to the hymns in our car. You can set up a sanctuary in your house with a pew. And you can play Kumbaya on your own time. But when we come into the house of God, if we want the world to be excited about the house of God, we got to have cutting-edge stuff happening here, because we're competing against them. We're competing against the world. So we got to be excellent. We got to be relevant. We got to be progressive thinking. If we want people to say, come on, up to the house of God. The church has to be funded and flourishing. That's why we have vision builders. You can't walk into the house of God and expect people to invite their friends if the place is broke down. When I came into this church, I realized that God wasn't broke. I always thought you had to be poor to be a Christian. But the Bible says God has unsearchable riches, that the heavens are paved in gold. And he doesn't just keep it to himself. He gives it to his people. He uses us. So the house of God needs to be funded. No one wants to get on a ship that's sinking. We got to be funded. I can't tell you how many people have walked into our churches, this campus, Central Campus, other campuses, and have said, man, I didn't realize church could be like this. God really isn't broke. The people of God, you can be a Christian and still flourish. The house of God needs to be funded. That's why we have vision builders. That's why we're building a building right across the street just for kids. Come on, people are going to walk into that place. They're going to walk through the parted Red Sea, and they're going to be blown away. Kids are going to be fighting their parents to get to church. The kids are going to come and say, it must be a place that is powerful, that is full of power. If we're going to be a Holy Ghost church, we better be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles and healings. If we're going to call ourselves that, let's go. Let's start learning how to get people healed. Let's start learning how to pray for people. Let's start learning how to prophesy. Let's start pressing into God and getting words of wisdom and knowledge. Let's go, not be afraid to go home and be in church and speak in tongues, because it builds up your spirit, man. Come on, if we're a Holy Ghost church, let's see the Holy Ghost move. That's who we are. And there's a supreme power. The Holy Spirit, God is a supreme power. There's power out there. But the only way the devil has the authority to use his power is if you give it to him. Because you and I have been given authority over all the powers of the enemy. The supreme power is found in the house of God. It must be different than what the world can offer. If people come in here and it's the same as out there, what's the point? What are we doing? How many people here like rain? Anybody like rain? Well, there's a lot of people like rain. Why do you live here? Just kidding. I don't really like rain, and I'm not sure I totally believe all of you. I mean, I like the idea of rain. But here's the thing. I like rain between like 12 and 5 when I'm asleep. Because if it rains during the day, especially in San Diego, it's bumper to bumper everywhere you go. You can't get anywhere. All your stuff's wet. Your car's dirty. It's kind of a pain. If it's windy, your umbrella like flops up or whatever. And so it's kind of a pain. And especially in San Diego, even if it's just like a light mist, people, we can't handle rain around here. And I'm not claiming to know that I know how, because I've lived here my whole life. So I'm probably one of those people that you guys are honking at. But let's imagine, every time it rains, it's like that little meme comes up with a branch, like a little branch in the street, and it's like, storm watch, San Diego, we shall rebuild, you know? And there's like a tree branch that's fallen on the ground. But let's imagine Hurricane Hugo comes and hits San Diego, and it's bucketing down rain, cats and dogs, and you see a sign. You see a sign on a building that says shelter. And so you run into the sheltered building. You open the door. You close it behind you, only to find out there's no roof. And so it's bucketing down rain inside, and it's bucketing down rain outside. In other words, there's no difference between when you walk into the shelter or if you're outside of the shelter. We have to be different. There has to be a change in the weather when people walk into the house of God. There has to be a disruption when they come through the threshold of the house of God. It has to be different. It has to be distinct. It can't be the same weather out there as in here. We can't be preaching the same thing they're preaching. We can't just be another motivational seminar. Come on. What are we doing? We can't be talking about what other people have already said and just regurgitating it. We should be a prophetic voice, speaking about what's to come, not what's already happened. That's the church. If people are going to say, hey, come on up to the house of the Lord, that's the kind of stuff that we got to be doing. We need to be a prophetic voice. Next part says, he will teach us his ways. Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the way. He's going to teach us his ways. Now, his ways are higher than our ways, but we have access to his ways. Moses, the Bible says, in Psalm 103, knew his ways. The children of Israel only knew his acts. He had a special relationship. You and I have that opportunity because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit, which with him comes the mind of Christ, which means we have access to his higher ways. When you come into the house of God, he will start to teach you his ways. Listen to this in 1 John 2:20. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. He's talking about you. Verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. What he's saying is because of the Holy Spirit that abides in you, you know all things that need to be known. That doesn't mean we don't go to church, listen to podcasts, read books. It means you have access to everything that you need because the mind of Christ abides in you. And we shall walk in his paths.
Bible says his paths drip with abundance. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm not talking about your finances, although that's included. I'm talking about your whole life. His paths drip with abundance. The way of the righteous winds upward, the Bible says. You should be walking on the paths of God. Once you start to learn his ways, you'll start to walk in his paths. And the Bible says he is a light unto our path. So we will start to walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the next part, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. Out of Zion shall go forth. Out of the church shall go forth the law. Now, this is why we have Pathfinders. If you've never been to Pathfinders, we have Pathfinders because we want to invade every sphere of culture. Every sphere. Because out of Zion, out of the people of God, shall go forth the law. The church should be dictating the culture, not the culture dictating the church. That's why we want people of high moral value, Christians, in high places in the marketplace. Government. We want government people being Christians and writing the laws. Arts and entertainment, athletes, we want that voice to be the voice of a Christian, of a God-fearing man or woman of God. We want the media to be laced with Christianity. We want education system. We want the curriculums to be written by Christians, by people who believe God, not by the world. We want to invade every business people, medicine, health, everywhere. We want Christian people to be in every sphere of culture, influencing. Now, the reputation of the church has been that we're uneducated, we can't handle money, we're unorganized, we can't do things. That's why I have to tell business people that we run our church like a business, because it gives them comfort. I don't like doing that. I would rather have them come to me and say, hey, how do you guys do church? That's how I'm going to do my business. And that's the shift that's happening. That's the shift that's happening, because no pastor goes to seminary to learn how to be a CEO. However, that's how they need to know how to be a CEO to run a church. So all of that stuff is shifting. We now have some of the greatest organizations in the world are church organizations. Some of the greatest leaders in the world are church leaders. I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking about church leaders, people who base their life on the Word of God and who live based on the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. There are secular organizations calling in pastors and leaders to speak to them, to tell them how to do business. I have a business part-time. It's a digital marketing company, and we do business like the church does business. And we get comments. We have 12 employees in San Diego. We get comments from them saying they've never been involved in a company that has been so generous, that has valued them the way we value them, that has empowered them to lead in their space. That's not my words. That's their words. They say it all the time. They say it all the time. Why? Because we do business like the church does business. I just apply what the Bible says. If you go into Pastor Matt's office, you'll see this exact same thing. There's a different feeling in there than anywhere else. Why? Because he does business the way the church does business. Church leaders, right, or not church leaders, leaders all over, secular leaders included, will say the future of business is people, not technology. The reason is because we've become such a technical age, we don't go have coffee and talk to people. We text people, direct message people, social media people, Facebook people, MySpace people. We do that instead of talking to people. And so people don't know how to deal with their emotions. It's called emotional intelligence. We have a girl in our church, Elise Boggs, and she goes all over San Diego and talks about emotional intelligence. She's wanted all over the place. She goes into secular companies, and she told me, she just tells them what she learned in church. And they're like blown away. They're like, wow, where did you get the, you know, it's all in here. The future of business is people. We need to learn how to, but that's where we have an advantage. And all the other stuff. So there's a shift already happening in that area. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. There's nothing like the word of the Lord. We cannot be scared to preach the word of the Lord. It was the word that created the world, and it's the word that holds the world together, the Bible says. We have to be willing to preach the world. When the world was formless and void, God stepped out and he said, "Let there be light." And light came. And darkness was separated from light. One of the things that happens in the world when we start to speak the word of God is darkness gets separated from the light. And this PC culture, everybody's confused. No one even knows if you're a man or a woman these days. If you're a boy or a girl. And then they say, oh, you're 5? Why don't you choose? It's the church's job. And I know I might have offended some people. It's the church's job to speak the word of God to discern what the truth is. Otherwise, everybody's going to be confused. Everybody's going to be confused. Is it women's rights or is it abortion? Like, come on. The church needs to speak the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is living and powerful. It's still alive, and it's able to discern between soul and spirit. Sometimes it's hard to discern that. Is this just a feeling or is this the spirit? Well, when we speak the word of God, it discerns. Facebook says there's 72-something genders. When we speak the word of God and we say, no, the word of God says there's male and female. There's male and female. It discerns between what's emotional. The world says, do whatever you feel. But we need to do the truth. We need to speak the word of God. It will help our society. We cannot be silent. We have to speak the word of God. It's able to discern. It's able to discern. The word is not just words written on a piece of paper. Did you know that this word is backed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is backing up this word. That's why it says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. The heaven is backing you up, is backing up this word. It's not just meant to be read. It must go out. First two letters of gospel is go. We gots to go. And it's not only supposed to be preached to men. It's supposed to be preached and declared to principalities and powers. Ephesians 3, 10 and 12, I love this. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we're to declare that stuff. Declare the word of God to principalities and to powers and to set people of God free, to set the world free. The gospel is what provides the power to disrupt our sinful ways. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. I love what Paul says in Romans 1. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I tell people, you just got to get people around the gospel. Because the gospel provides the power. The gospel provides the power to get people saved. We can't be ashamed. We have to be willing to preach with our mouths and with our actions. We have to be able to back up what we're saying so that people believe us. So we see this passage of Scripture, which is powerful, and it talks about kind of the tension between having an excellent church and an excellent house of God, and that crowds will attract crowds, but then also, you know, a sense of going out, a sense of spilling out into the marketplace and going out, because every great organization has a two-pronged approach, internal and external. And so we have to not just be people who have a great church service on a Sunday, but we have to let this respond to this gospel by going out and telling other people and not being afraid to prosper and have influence in the marketplace. Ezekiel 47, I'm using the Bible this morning. Ezekiel 47, 1 and 2, and verse 7 to 9 talks about the church. And I love this, and I'm trying to get there quick. But it shows a picture of the church kind of spilling out into society. So I want to read it to you. It says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, or the church, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For out of the front temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Verse 7, when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Let me tell you what the river is. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those that believe in him receive. Now, this is a great picture of the temple of God and water, us flowing out, spilling out into the marketplace and into society. And everywhere we go, healing and life comes. Everywhere we go, healing and life comes. And I love it because it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. which tells me that there are people alive, but they're not living. Until the life of God goes and touches and heals, we are that water spilling out into our elementary schools, spilling out into our junior highs, into our high schools, into our colleges, into the marketplace, into the athletic fields, into the retirement homes. Every sphere of culture, the church of Jesus Christ has to spill out. Because where we go, life comes. Where we go, healing goes. In Jesus' name, the world doesn't know it, but they need the church. They need the church. They need us spilling out all over society because the rivers of living water are contained within you. The easiest way to kind of invade society is to start answering the questions that they have. Start filling the needs that they desire. To begin to basically just serve our city. Jesus came to serve. So our idea, how do we do this? We serve our city. We serve the people around us. We just serve. That's how Jesus got into every sphere of culture. He just began to serve. I love what the Dream Center says. The Dream Center philosophy says, find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go coach a team. I coach my kids' team for two reasons. Number one, because I want to spend time with my kids. Number two, because I want to meet people that don't go here. Because I know that I have rivers of living water flowing out of me, and I want to touch their lives and encourage them and get them into the house of God. And guess what? Yesterday, two of my assistant coaches decided they're going to come to Hero. They don't go to our church. But every year I coach and with an agenda. With an agenda. Hopefully they don't listen to this podcast. Get on a school board. Run for office. Support someone running for office, Matt Stack. Volunteer. Fund those making a difference. Mentor a child. Serve on a team at C3. We reach people every single week. Get on one of these teams. Get to the serve class, the grow and the serve class. Get on a team. Don't be an observer. Be a participator. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven does not come by observation, but the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so if you don't go, living water is not going to go. We have to go. We have to go. Participate. We are carriers of his spirit. Staying away from the world is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they would say, don't go near the unclean or the sick because it might get on you. But I read to you earlier, we have authority over all the powers of the enemy and nothing by shall any means hurt you. New Testament theology disrupts Old Testament theology. It says, go lay hands on the sick people. Go hug the unclean. Go love those that are unlovable, just like Jesus did. That's New Testament. That's why we got to go out into the world. We got to spill out. And don't be afraid that we're going to be affected, but know that you're going to infect. We need to be the infectors. The infectors. Sounds like a Marvel movie. People need hope, healing, laughter, joy, power, truth, freedom. They need all that stuff. Church is the hope of the world. There was a song three years ago or something by Matthew West called Do Something. Some of you might remember it, but I don't know all the different words of the song, but I know the theme of the song. And basically it was this. It was Matthew West in this song, and he's talking about this guy, and he's crying out to God, saying, God, there's poverty all over the world. There's calamity in the earth. People are dying. Why don't you do something? And in the song, God responds to this man. He says, I have done something. I've created you. God sees that there's a mess. He sees that there's chaos, that there's calamity. But he's already provided the solution. And the answer is you. The answer is me. Church is the answer to the problems in the world. Let's go out and be influencers of culture. Let's spill out into every sphere of culture. Don't be afraid to be excellent in your work, excellent as a mom, excellent on the athletic field, on the worship team, in a band, whatever you're doing. Don't be afraid, because with that comes influence. And people need you. People need rivers of living water. that is within you. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads? I need to end the service, but I wanted to give people an opportunity this morning to respond to this message. Before you can be a carrier of that living water, you first have to invite Jesus into your life. So I want to give you an opportunity today that if you've never invited Christ into your life, if you've never received the Holy Spirit that I was talking about, I want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe one time you have, but you've kind of taken your life back. Things get busy, stuff happens. But today you're saying, you know what, I want to rededicate my life. I want to be a carrier of the Spirit into the world. If you're one of those two people, you've never given your life to Christ, or one time you did, but you've taken your life back, but today you want to rededicate, right where you're sitting, with every eye closed and head bowed, would you just raise your hand right where you are so that I can pray for you? God bless you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you to my left. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anybody else? Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? Let's not leave the same way we came in. God wants to empower you to make a difference. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. So proud of you. Incredible. Is there one more person that I'm waiting on? Come on, let me pray for you. More seconds. Is there one more person? Amen. I see that hand. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Well, you can open your eyes and look up here. I want to do one quick thing. We got to end this service, but there was maybe four or five of you that raised your hand, and I would love to pray for you personally. I want to get off the stage down here, and what I would ask is the whole congregation to stand. If you lifted your hand, bring your friend, bring somebody down here so that I can pray with you personally. So why don't we give all these people a hand that raised their hand. Come on down. Come on down, sir. Come on down, ma'am. Come on down. Come on down, sir. Somebody up here. Okay. God can touch you in your seat, but God alters lives right here. And I want to pray for you guys. I'm so proud of you for walking down. Sometimes it's hard to get people out of your way, and you know. But I got to tell you, everybody in here will get out of your way. Promise. So next time, altar call, and if you didn't respond tonight or today, you can come on down. People get out of your way. Let me just pray for you guys. I'm just going to say a simple prayer, and if you just repeat after me, and I'll have the whole building repeat after me. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my life. Disrupt my world. Help me to live a life that glorifies you. Today I declare that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You're awesome, sir. God bless you. If you do me a quick favor, hey, God bless you, man. We want to give you guys a Bible and a book just to help you out. 2 minutes. You can take your friends with you. Can you just follow this guy? We just want to help you out, answer any questions that you have. Just 2 minutes, and we'll bring it right back. Come on. Heaven is celebrating. All right. Why don't we all lift our hands? Let me just pray for you before we leave. Tonight, 5 p.m., Pastor Jurgen will be in the house. It's going to be powerful. But why don't we lift our hands? Father, I thank you for each and every person. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of C3 San Diego, in the lives of each person represented. Father, I pray for the blessing of God for the favor of God to rest and to be active on every person with their hands lifted. Father, help us disrupt the status quo. Help us be the influencers of culture. We declare right now invitations being received for Easter and for Hero, Father, for people saying yes in Jesus' name, and we cancel the assignment of the enemy over our friends, over our family, over our colleagues in Jesus' name. And we declare this house packed on Easter Sunday, Father. We declare Hero overflowing in Jesus' name and people giving their lives to Christ all over our city. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. God bless you. See you tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.